I just want you to know that I'm sorry.
What's up, everyone?
Welcome back to another episode at Unhinged Memoirs. We are on episode 11. I cannot believe it. I am Jess.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Val.
And today we are so excited because we actually got a whole bunch of listener submissions over our past couple episodes. So we actually wanted to do an episode that is all for you guys. So this one is called Confessions of Chaos in Unhinged Listeners Chronicles number 1.
Yay!
So excited. So we're going to go
dive in.
Fuck me, man.
Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and read these and actually give our advice because we got a lot of advice ones this time. So we're going to read those.
Well, I'm excited because I'm going to read the first one. Okay. And this one, like, I don't know. It just kind of...
You felt it?
Yeah, I felt it. I was like, girl, same. So this one says, hey, ladies, I'm in need of some serious life advice right now because I feel completely stuck. I'm in my late 20s and it feels like everyone around me has their life together. They either are married, have kids, they're buying houses, moving up in their careers. Meanwhile, I'm still living paycheck to paycheck, working on a job that I don't love, and I have no idea what I want to do with my life. Constantly, I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. Social media makes it worse because it feels like everyone is thriving while I'm barely keeping my head above water. Mm. Same girl. I have dreams of starting my own business one day, but I'm scared to take the risk because of the money and the fear of failing. I just feel stuck between wanting more for myself and being too afraid to go for it. How do you get out of this rut and start building a life that I'm actually proud of? How do I stop comparing myself to everyone else and focus on my own path?
Girl,
that is rough. For her.
I really truly feel for her.
I've been there.
I'm still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How are you navigating it? Let's start there.
I'm not.
It's
a struggle. It's a fucking struggle. I love my job. And I like what I do because I help people. You know what I mean? I work in the emergency room. Though I'm not a nurse, I've worked in the medical field since I was 17 years old. Okay. Mm. It is the most draining job you could ever have, working in the medical field, no matter what aspect you do.
Yes, it is.
But I feel like my life really has no purpose. You know what I mean? Mm. I feel like I'm going nowhere in life right now. And it fucking sucks. And I'm in my mid to late 30s. And that's like the worst feeling in the entire world. Like, I look at you and I'm like, she's got everything she needs. You know what I mean? She's got her own car. She's got a fucking apartment to herself. She doesn't have kids that she has to worry about. You know what I mean? Like, I'm envious of that. And then I look at Jess over here. She's got the husband. She's got the kids. She's got the house. She's got everything. You know what I mean? And here I am just sitting on my own, you know?
You know what? And that's, because I can flip that and go in the same way. I feel the same way when I look on social media or when I look at everybody else around me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I can look and go, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm almost 40 years old and this was not the career that I wanted and this is not what I wanted to do with my life. And I expected to be more off. I didn't expect to be renting a house. I expected to be owning a house by this point. And I expected to have my shit together. And you know, we are, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, we are our own worst critics. Okay. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's a part of life that we're never going to be fully 100% happy where we are, because once we reach that goal, we're always setting new goals for ourselves and going, well, mm-hmm. I need to be better than this. In social media, if you want my advice, stay off of it. Give yourself a cleanse, because you know what? 90% of shit you see on social media is fake anyways.
Ain't that true. Right?
You know what I mean? They may have like happy moments, but it's not their actual life. They're not posting the bad. People only post the good, unless it's like something tragic and they're looking for pity or you know, whatever you want to call it. That's the only time people are really posting negative.
Yeah, and I love the fact that some people are just posting and they're flexing all these cars that they bought or these new Gucci bags. Bitch, they bought that on a credit card that's been maxed out for 5 years and have 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you really don't know what they're flexing. So first and foremost, I'm with you on that. Social media, don't even pay no mind. That has zero effect on anything. Number 2, the paycheck to paycheck. Here's how I think about that. I, believe me, have been there. We've all been there.
I'm still there.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's tough. It's a tough spot to be in. But I think also reevaluating your situation and where you want to be and believing in yourself to do better and finding other outlets to be better is where you need to start with yourself. Starting with yourself and looking in and where you want to be and giving yourself that gift of, if it's something small in that moment, you want to take a class towards something, or if you want to just try a career change, or if you want to switch your hours, you know, or pick up different hours in a different area, you can, you know, like, figure out where you want to go. If you're not happy where you're in right now, is where you need to start evaluating.
I agree.
That's important.
Yeah.
If you're not happy, don't stay in it.
And listen, if you have a dream of opening your own business, the best thing I can tell you is start doing the small things that you can do. Start buying stuff you'll need for your business. Start slowly as you have the extra cash, get it, put it aside. And then this way, when you're ready to do that, it's less money you're having to invest in that moment. And you can slowly work on building up to your dream of where you're looking to be. I mean, honestly, it's the best way to do it, unless you can get an investor or some to that extent. But when money's tough, we don't like to take risky moves. And mm-hmm. I understand that too, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to put yourself out there, especially if it's something you know you're going to be good at.
Every business owner says you got to spend money to make money.
Absolutely.
Just don't spend more money than you're bringing in.
Right. No, for sure. So. Absolutely. And within your means.
And understand that you got to stop comparing yourself to people. Because mm-hmm. that is literally
your
like
worst enemy.
100%. It is 100% your worst enemy, because you know what? Everybody goes through different chapters and different phases in their life. And, you know, I'd be calling, you know, the kettle black if I didn't say that I didn't do that myself. You know what I mean? I've compared myself to people growing up, and even now, sometimes I still find myself trying to do that, mm-hmm. but I have to like take a step back and go, you know what? It's not worth comparing your life to someone else's, because everybody's going through different things at different times. And just because you're not there doesn't mean you can't be there. So.
Absolutely. And you know, and it's funny, like she's sitting there. She's like, I look at you and you have a job, you have a career, you have no kids that you have to worry about. That's one of my deepest wounds, is that I don't have kids. You really, truly, everyone has their own battles, you know? Everyone truly does have their own battles. So I think not comparing yourself is where you need to start.
I agree. 100%.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. So we have another one.
I hope that helped.
I do too. We're gonna pray for everyone. I love this. You're going to do just fine. You're great how you are. All right. So we have this one. Okay, what's up, guys? This podcast has been my lifeline, and your honesty and humor are exactly what I need right now. I'm in a tough spot and could really use some advice. I've been best friends with this girl for almost 10 years. We've been through everything together. Breakups, family drama, job changes, you name it. But lately, our friendship feels off. She's been super distant and only reaches out when she when she needs something. I'll call or text and she either ignores me or gives super short replies, but as soon as she needs advice or a favor, she's blowing up my phone. The part that hurts is that I've always shown up for her, but when I need support, she's nowhere to be found. That's terrible. I feel like I'm putting in all the effort to keep our friendship alive, and it's starting to feel one-sided. I tried hinting that I feel left out, but she just laughs it off and said that she's just been quote-unquote busy. I don't want to lose this friendship because we've been so close for so long, but I'm starting to feel like I'm used. How do I talk to her about this without causing drama, and how do I know if it's time to let this friendship go or it's just a rough patch?
That is a rocky road.
That is a rocky road. I feel like, though, as women, we can all agree that we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all been in that situation, whether it have been one or the latter. You know what I mean? Whether it was you feeling that way and it was just something was going on in that mm-hmm. other person's life, or if it was actually time to end that friendship.
I can agree with that. My ex-best friend, we kind of hit that point where, like, she was living on the other side of the country. Well, she was in the service, so she was on the other side of the country, and like, we only talked like once or twice a week. We would try and text every day, but it just wasn't the same. And we kind of had the conversation of like, what the fuck's going on?
Right.
And then she kind of got jealous that I became friends with you.
Mm.
And I kind of got sick of it at that point, and I just snapped. And then her and I have not spoken a day in almost 4 years now.
That's crazy. It's crazy to me. How
so. And we were friends for like 13 years. Yeah.
That's It's rough.
So
does that bother you?
It did bother me in the beginning. Now I don't give a fuck.
Really?
I don't give a flying fuck. You are happy living your life. You're thriving, doing your own thing. That's great. You know what I mean? But if you can't get over one little thing and you just move on that quickly, it's not worth it anymore. They have no place in your life if they're not cheering you on too.
I agree.
And if they get jealous over somebody else coming into your life, like, you're allowed to have more than one best friend.
Right.
That's not, there is no cardinal rule that says you can only have one best friend in life.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the games we're still playing in our 30s, I don't need to play them anymore.
I agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree. I think one-sided friendships are just tough to navigate too.
Absolutely.
And here's my thing. Like, I understand that we all, again, being in our 30s, we have lives. You guys have kids. You have a husband. You have work full time. Like, I have work full time. School, I mean, I'm taking a little break right now, but like, school when it's in, I'm busy. And sometimes, especially, you kind of touched on this the last point, when I get home, I'm just mentally drained.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being a nurse is not for the weak, man. Like, it's draining. So sometimes I just don't want to talk, you know, and that has nothing to do with anything personal. However, you know, give yourself rest and relaxation. If she says that she's busy, understand that. But also, there's times where she can relax and connect with you once a week, 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Or go out to lunch if that's where you guys are at. Like, all of us are lucky. We actually physically hang out, like, still sisters. But, you know, if for some people, go out to lunch or catch up with coffee, like, it can't just be one-sided. And I know that Jessica and I have been through rough patches.
Yeah.
where we kind of distanced. But in those moments, what did we do? We communicated.
Yeah. And that's really truly going to be the biggest part.
Key.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You have to communicate. Like, sometimes doing it via like text or calling or doing that kind of stuff is not needed. You need to actually sit down with that person. Like, hey, can we meet up for like an hour? I would really like to have a conversation with you. And sit down and explain your feelings and go, listen, this is not me attacking you. I just want to be able to talk to you, express where I'm coming from, and kind of see if we can meet in the middle here. Am I doing something wrong? Have I done something wrong? I feel like we're distant. And explain that. Communicate with her and say, listen, I feel like I'm always the one that when you need me, I'm there. I'm jumping up. I'm handling everything for you. I answer your calls. You need help with something, I'm there. I show up. But when the situation's reversed, if it's not benefiting you, you're not helping me. And I can understand how that feels. So you need to communicate that, though, because depending on, and I don't know what's going on in your friend's life, but in that situation, you don't know what is fully going on. If she's sharing what's going on in her head, is she dealing with some issues that she's not ready to talk about or whatever the situation is? Sometimes that can be a pull away, too, because I know for me, that's my biggest thing. I recluse and I start getting quiet. And I'll be like, oh, I'm busy, or oh, I'm tired, or oh, this or that, because I'm going through something and I'm just not ready to talk about it or ready to address it yet. But having someone come to me and be like, hey, you know, what's going on?
I love you enough to say this.
Right. Yeah. I love you enough to say, like, I can feel like there's a distance between us and I'm just trying to figure out if it's me or is it something I've done?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the biggest in any relationship, whether it be friendship, family, you know, spouse, whatever the situation is, you have to have communication, you know.
You also have to have two people that are receptive to hearing those things too. Yeah. Because it's not, it wouldn't work if you came to me and said all these things and you're like, hey, I'm feeling some type of way. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
And left it at that. And vice versa. You know, I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, we just had this conversation last week where I was feeling some type of way. And I literally brought it up and I was like, I just feel like my abandonment issues are being triggered. And your first response was, I love you. And that's not, if I'm doing that, if I'm doing something to make you feel that way, I don't want to. So you have to have friendships that, first of all, you're open to communicating. And second of all, you're both receptive to understanding what each other is saying because you know that it's coming from a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're doing all of those things and you're opening up and you're saying, hey, I'm bothered, and they're not receptive, then I would say maybe reevaluate your friendship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm heavy on communication is key, but comprehension is more important.
Hello. Absolutely.
Say it again for the people in the back. Yeah.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. So, I mean, I hope that kind of helps give some sort of advice of you just need to communicate. And if that is a situation, and if you sit down and have that conversation with this person and they're still not being receptive, and still not understanding where you're coming from and they're still brushing you off, then maybe it is time to consider
cutting ties.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, your mental health is what matters. And if it's affecting you emotionally, it's not worth the wait.
Nope.
And if that's the case, learn how to take time, find a new hobby, start reading in bed.
Absolutely. Big facts. Something. Big facts.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to move on to the next one. This one says, "Hey, loves, I absolutely love you guys, and I really need some advice on something that's been eating at me lately. My boyfriend and I have been dating for a little over 2 years. We live together and have been talking about getting married one day. The problem is, I never felt truly accepted by his family. His mom barely talks to me, and his sister always makes passive-aggressive comments when I'm around. He tells me just to ignore him and says, that's just how they are. But it's starting to feel personal and making me feel uncomfortable. His niece's birthday is next week, and he wants me to go to their party, which means I will be around his family. And honestly, I'm dreading it. I feel like I'm constantly walking on eggshells around them, and I'm scared if I say no, it'll cause problems between us. But if I go, I know I'm going to feel like I'm out of place the entire time. Oof. How do I handle this situation? Should I talk to him about it or feel... Should I talk about it or how I'm feeling or just suck it up and go? I don't want to come between him and his family, but I also don't want to feel like I'm an outsider in this relationship."
Mm.
Oof. That's a tough one because I've been there before. I've been in the shoes of feeling like I wasn't accepted by the family. And that is a really shitty feeling because all you want to do is be accepted when you're with that person. You know? So I don't know. That is
a hard line to like navigate though.
It is.
Honestly. I mean, I got lucky in my son's father's relation. Like when I was in relationship with him, his family was so open and accepting in the beginning. Like it was great. But previous relationships I've had, their mom hated me. Like it was like I was taking him away from their mother. You know what I mean? Like that's my spawn, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I said spawn because, you know, Satan is real. But she like held everything against me. Like anytime he wouldn't call as much or if he didn't do things the way that she remembered he did them. Oh, well, I'm sure you've changed so much since Liz has come in your life. Fuck all the way off. Your son has grown up and grown the fuck out of diapers and got away from you. He's being his own person now. Don't blame it on somebody else because you're a shitty parent.
I feel like that's also like a sense of control, though. Like
in the family
there's a dynamic. Lot of
controlling parents out there, though.
Yeah,
who don't like their children's spouses.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not just about control, though. You know what I mean? Sometimes they truly just don't like the person that person's with,
and that's fine. You don't have to for no reason, but you will respect me
absolutely. And I think it comes down to because I know it's. Hard as my kids are. Growing up and they're getting spouses, like you never are gonna ever feel like someone's perfect enough for your kid. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
In that aspect, but you have to find the love in them and go, you know what, they're just human too.
If they make my child happy,
that's what matters. Absolutely.
So I don't know.
I think bringing this up to him though is something
you should definitely talk to him about it.
Yeah, like I don't.
He has to know how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, then you're gonna start grow resentment. And you're going to start holding it against him without even realize you're holding it against him.
Yeah. I'd go one further. I'm going to be 100% honest with you because I actually did this. And I'd go one further to actually go to the mom. And I would sit down with the mom and be like, hey, can I talk to you? Or call her up and say, hey, I would like to have a conversation with you. Can we go meet up for coffee or something?
If you haven't talked to him first?
Well, talk to him. Yes, you can talk to him. But if he said to her, that's just the way they are. That's not a fair statement.
Yeah,
right. She's obviously talked to him before and said that she feels like they're not accepting of her.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So fair. In that situation, like talk to him and let him know that you want to go and try to build a relationship with the mom and the family. Because if you guys are talking about getting married, you guys are all going to be family. Yeah. So in that situation, like you need to build some sort of foundation and all you can do is try. And if it ended up not working out in the aspect of with the mom, at least you did everything you could. So my suggestion would be to like let him know you're going to do it. Let him know you're going to go sit down and have coffee with his mom or whatever the situation is. But sit down with her and just say, hey, you know, is there anything I can do that would, you know, make you happy? Is there anything that, you know, I'm doing that you dislike me for? You know, I feel some sort of distance between us. And I would really like to build a relationship with you because, you know, if me and your son are getting married, you're going to be my mother-in-law. And yeah. I don't want this to be an awkward situation. I want it to be able to feel like you guys are my family because I look at you guys as my family too. So I don't want to feel like I'm an outsider. So how do we better further a relationship and start making attempts that way? I mean, I've done it before. That's what I would do.
I think that's a very eloquent way of putting that. And I think that it gives respect. It doesn't put anyone in any awkward situations. You're pretty much stating, hey, I'm uncomfortable and I don't want to feel that way around you.
Because your family.
You know, your family, especially if you've been dating that long. You know, there should be some type of connection there.
Yeah.
So,
And not only that, I feel like it would cause drama for it with her telling her boyfriend, right? Like, this is what's going on. This is what I'm feeling. This is, you know, how do we fix this? I don't like this. I don't want to be around them because of this. And all he's doing, if he's just like passive aggressively, just be like, oh, you know, it is what it is. This is just how they are. He's obviously not doing anything about it or even standing up for his girlfriend or trying to be like, hey, this is, she's my family now. Like, this is my going to be my wife. Like, you need to like stop treating her like shit, treat her like she's family or whatever. Like, you can go to your family and talk to them in a respectful way and say, hey, I'm not going to put up with you being disrespectful because my family is very open and loving and accepting to Eric. But if for some reason they weren't, I'd be like, listen, this is who I want to be with.
Right.
You know, and this person makes me happy. So you need to treat him with respect when he's around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just as I treat you guys with respect, I expect the same to my partner.
Well, and that's kind of how the relationship went with my ex, whose mom, like, she was just mean to me. He kind of told her, he was like, look, this is who I choose to be with. This is who makes me happy. She's in my life regardless whether you like her or not. So I expect you to treat her with respect because all she's ever done is treat you with respect.
Right.
And it actually ended badly between her and him. Like, they didn't talk for like 2-3 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because of it?
Because of it. Yeah. And I finally was like, I'm not going to have that because I don't want that on my conscience. Like, I knew it had nothing to do with me, like, that I told him to do that or whatever the case was. But it was a shitty situation. Ooh. You know what I mean? Because I would never want to be that person that drives a child away from their mother.
Absolutely not.
So, I don't know. It's a tightrope.
Yeah. And I've always been heavy on, like, you need to have a relationship with your family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and I've always tried to kind of push that in every relationship I've ever been in if they've had, like, a struggling relationship. But for falling back on what we were talking about, I will say that in her also going to the mother is going to show, like, hey, I'm not going to stand for you to just do this to me.
Absolutely.
Like, it's an amount of gaining respect by going to the mom directly too as well and being like, I'm going to handle this. She can tell her boyfriend, like, listen, I'm going to go talk to your mom because I don't want it to be like this. I want us all to get along. I don't want to feel like an outsider, you know? So her going to it takes the middleman out. So there can be no confusion because then it's, oh, what is she whining? Oh, what is she talking shit? Is she saying something? This is why we don't like her.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
Right.
Right.
So you're better off to just go to him yourself, personally. That's my opinion. I may be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
This sounds like the current, I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé. And this sounds like Gino and Jasmine.
I've been so far removed from that show. I haven't watched it in such a while.
I haven't either. Yeah. I just picked it up. I haven't watched it
since, what's the guy with no neck?
Oh, Big Ed.
Big Ed.
Yeah, oh, God. I love him. Yeah, I haven't, like, this is not normally something I watch all the time, but now that I'm, like, single, yes, I'm like, what am I going to do? I got to pick up something. So I read and I watch 90 Day Fiancé, and it's actually quite entertaining because then I'm like, every time I'm single or every time I'm like, oh, I don't have anyone, I watch that show and it makes me feel better.
And you're like, I don't want anyone.
Yeah. I'm going to stay single and celibate for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
You might as well just become a nun at this point.
Oh, man.
I'm stuck on The Resident right now. I'm on, like, episode 6.
Oh,
yeah. I love that show.
I love that show. Like, I am so sucked in. Like, it took me a little bit. Like, the first season was really good, though. But, like, I didn't really fully get sucked in. Wait,
what episode are you on?
I'm on season 6.
Oh, you said episode 6. And I'm like,
sorry. Season 6. Like, season 6, episode 3 or 4 right now, I think. Yeah. But, yeah, no. I've been, like, sucked into that show.
Is this on Netflix?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, Conrad Hawkins.
Daddy. Oh. He could be my doctor any day.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So moving on now,
I don't trust
back to
doctors.
Another listener. Whoa, hey, watch it because we work with a lot of them.
Actually, yeah, there's a couple that I don't trust. Anyway, off topic.
Good eggs. All right. The next one I have says, I need some advice because I'm feeling stuck right now. My husband and I have been married for 5 years and we have 2 kids together. Lately, I've been feeling like I'm doing everything on my own. I handle the house, the kids, and I work part-time, but he also acts like his only responsibility is his 9-to-5 job. I've tried talking to him about needing more help, but he always says, I work all day and I deserve to relax when I get home.
I have so much to say on this one. Go ahead.
Meanwhile, I'm exhausted and starting to feel resentful.
I love him, but I don't feel like we're partners anymore. I feel like I'm raising the kids and taking care of everything by myself. I've tried asking nicely. I've tried being direct, but nothing changes. I'm scared if I push too hard, it'll cause more tension. But if I stay quiet, I feel like there's going to be burnout. How do I get him to understand that I need help without making it feel like I'm nagging? And how do I stop this resentment from building up and ruining our marriage? Sincerely, drowning in dirty dishes and diapers.
Mm. Oh, girl. Okay, so listen.
I know Jess is on it. She's like, I'm rearing to go.
Yeah, I'm getting steamed for you on this one. Because, all right, so I have been exactly in this situation before. And it is a miserable feeling when you are trying to take care of everything. You're working part-time. You're sitting there and you're cleaning the house. You're taking care of the kids. And that alone, just taking care of the kids when they're hanging on you all day, it becomes so emotionally draining. You need to speak up, like 100%. And if he's not willing to step up, I'm 100% on this, like heavy on the, he doesn't babysit his own fucking kids. Okay. That is his responsibility too. So him, oh, I deserve to relax because he worked 9 to 5. Well, what about you? Realistically, like you're sitting there waking up first thing in the morning, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're taking care of the house, you're taking care of the kids, you're trying to take care of yourself and trying to have everything ready for him. Well, he's working his measly 8 hours a day and you're sitting there working 20 hours a day of what it feels like and getting hardly any sleep because you're waking up in the middle of the night with the kids, taking care of them all night so that he can come home and relax and what, sit on his ass and play video games. Fuck that shit.
My speak 8 hours up was so for hard your fucking self.
And I know you love him, but I'm going to tell you right now, if he's not willing to be a team player and not willing to meet you in the middle and help
he's
you,
not a husband,
get
the
fucking child. He's not a fucking husband at all. No, get fuck that. Fuck I'm sorry. That I've been in too many situations like that, and I've been burnt way too hard.
Yep.
Way too fucking hard. And that is not okay. You deserve better than that. You deserve someone that's going to actually be there and help you take care of those kids and help you take care of the housework and be a team player. That's what's important. Just my two cents.
Therapy.
Sorry, this one rears me up a little bit because I've been in this situation and spent almost 7 years of my life in this fucking nonsense. And it's bullshit. Like, truly, like, you can't allow that shit to go on because, you're going to either have resentment if you don't speak up and you're going to get burnt out. Mm-hmm. Both ways. So, I mean, you're going to deal with both.
And especially, like, being in love with someone and someone going, just leave them. Like, we know that that's the responsible choice, okay? We know that you deserve better, but I understand the power of love. So I say, if it's not working, you go to him and you say, listen, I'm feeling this way. This is really bothering me. This is making me resent you in our relationship, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
So either A, we get couples therapy to try to figure out how we do this, or B, I'm going to put up boundaries and say, okay, you know what? Then I'm going to take an hour between 7 and 8. You're going to take care of the kids. I'm going to do something for myself. There's boundaries and there's therapy.
Yeah.
If you don't want to just outright leave them.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying go out of your way to just break up with them, but you need to speak up for yourself.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, you're going to end up like literally losing yourself 100% and feeling so fucking burnt out that you won't be able to recover for a long time.
Yep. I agree.
Well, that, not only that, like, I think after a while when the kids start to see their mom burnt out, it starts to affect them as well.
Absolutely.
Like, as a child of like a product of that environment. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it starts to affect your children as well. And you have to think about them and their mental health and their mental well-being, because they're too young to speak up for themselves sometimes.
For sure.
So.
And I'm a firm believer, and I may be wrong, and I'm not, and I understand that I've done both. I've been a single mom, and I've also been the single mom in a relationship. And I would say being in a relationship with someone and still having to do everything on yourself is 10 times harder than when you're just doing it singly, because you don't expect anybody to help you when you know you have just yourself to rely on, and you have to take care of your house and you have to take care of your kids. You go into survival mode and you make that shit work. But when you're in a relationship, that's a completely different feeling, because now you almost feel betrayed in the same aspect.
Yep.
And you're going, but why can't you just fucking help? Why aren't you like, why, this isn't how it's supposed to be? And then your mental health goes to shit because of that.
Yep.
And it brings up like deeper feelings, like, I don't feel important.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that you should be feeling inside of a relationship. Especially when you've been married for 5 years and have 2 kids.
Yeah.
You deserve better.
It's not worth it. Nope. Honestly.
No. So I hope that you, first of all, realize your worth. And I hope that you can speak up for yourself. And I hope that if you don't want to leave, that's fine. But either try to find some marriage counseling or, you know, put up harder boundaries. Because that's nothing that anyone needs to deal with.
Sit down and communicate.
For sure.
Have a conversation with them. Explain what you're feeling. and ask for change. And if he still can't do that, then go to therapy. And if therapy don't work, then you make your own choices in that aspect.
Explore other options.
We want updates.
Yeah.
Yeah, please let us know what's going on after you have that conversation.
Yeah, please. Please do. Okay. The next one we got. Hello, ladies. I'm reaching out because I'm dealing with something that's really been getting to me. Getting ghosted. I met someone a few weeks ago through a dating app, and we hit it off right away. We had great conversations, exchanged texts all day, and even made plans to meet up in person. Everything seemed perfect, but then, after a few days of texting, nothing. They just completely stopped responding. I didn't get any explanation, no heads up, no closure, just radio silence. At first, I thought maybe they were busy or something came up, but the more time passed, the more I started doubting myself. I kept thinking, did I say something wrong? Was I too much? I'm having a hard time not taking it personally. I know ghosting happens, but this is the first time that it's happened to me, and it really does sting. So my question is, how do you get over getting ghosted without letting it affect your self-worth? I'm starting to feel like maybe I'm not enough. Girl, no. Or maybe I'm doing something wrong. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. How do you keep your confidence up and move on when it feels like someone just disappeared without a trace? Listen, Linda. There is nothing wrong with you. That is a 100% perception. That is a mirror image of who they are. Mm-hmm. And if that's what they're showing you right off rip, you run. Yep. You run. And first of all, I'm Christian. I believe that God's blocking that. You don't try to chase that. He ghosted you for a reason. And if he doesn't have the self-respect to go, hey, I'm just not feeling this, or hey, I'm a little afraid to meet you in person, or hey, I just feel like this is not going to go anywhere and I just wanted to be entertained, because let's face it, some guys just text you just to be fucking entertained.
Absolutely.
So if that's the case and you're getting ghosted, that's a blessing, baby. That is nothing to be worried about. There is nothing wrong with you. Your confidence, you're still a bad bitch. I don't give a fuck if he's still ghosting you or not.
You're still a bad bitch.
For real. Like, fuck that. Yeah. Let him ghost you. You keep moving. And if he reaches back out, I'm sorry, but your inconsistency is unattractive. Period. Sent.
Tell my man.
Right.
As a product of somebody who has been ghosted on several occasions, I am a firm believer in online dating because I fucking hate people as much as I want to be loved.
Oh my God. This poor girl.
But listen, just listen. I have been ghosted more times than I can count, and it's not because of, well, in my mind, it's not because of me as a person. I think it's more of my body, because I am a bigger, full-figured woman, and I used to care about that a lot. Now, I don't give a flying fuck what you think about me or my body, okay? If you don't like me, look the other fucking way, because, bitch, you're going to see me whatever way I'm walking. But if it is my personality, like, again, if you didn't like it right then and there, we're not going to last.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I need somebody who's going to be on par with me, who can keep up with me. And if my personality is too much in your face or it's too much for you, then we are not compatible, and that's fine.
Agreed.
But learn to open your fucking mouth.
Agreed.
Like, it's super simple to just be like, hey, I don't think this is going to work. Okay, cool. I respect you more for that than for you to just up and ghost me. I don't know.
You know that TikTok? Your son's a fucking pussy. What? Yeah. What? Your son's a fucking pussy.
I don't think I've seen that.
No. Oh my God. It's from a movie. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's really funny. And it's fitting. And that's exactly what goes to my mind when I read that. So their son is a fucking pussy.
And he's not worth your time. And you're a bad bitch.
Right.
Yeah. See, wise words of Valerie.
I see. I don't understand the whole like ghosting culture shit that goes on of like, oh, I didn't like this, so I'm just going to not say anything. Like, when did everybody become such little bitches that they just can't speak up and be like, hey, I wasn't feeling it? Like, why is that so hard? Like, truthfully, why is that so fucking hard?
Too many options of what, though? Okay, so you got social media, you've got dating apps, you've got all of these outlets that you can talk to other people.
Right.
There's no genuine connection anymore, right? Nope. So we live in a generation where it's all online, to where if you're not feeling it, you can gladly just move right on to the next one and start talking, because you don't know, especially on those dating apps, you don't know how many motherfuckers are talking to at one time.
I get that, but see, to me, that's just I guess it comes down to, it's just fucking pure asinine respect.
It is.
No, it's about respect. Like, straight up. Like, if you don't like someone, or you are not feeling it, or if they did something that just off put you on a date, or whatever the situation is, speak up.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm just not feeling this. Simple as that. Like, you don't have to go on and explain exactly every single thing. You can block the number when you're done, but just give them that fucking thing. Because, I mean, I've only been ghosted one time in my life, but the one time that I got ghosted, I sat there for fucking weeks going, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I was in, like, shell shock. I'm like, what? We just spent, like, a month talking, and, like, we hung out twice, and then all of a sudden you just, like, disappear out of fucking nowhere, like, thin air. Like, you can't even, like, I would rather someone be like, you know what? Fuck you. Than to just, like, straight up not say anything. Like, because it leaves you wondering, like, what happened? Did something happen to them? Are they okay? Mm-hmm. Did I do something wrong? And then as it goes on, you're like, holy shit, I got fucking ghosted.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is just so disrespectful. I don't... For anybody listening that does ghosting, just fucking say it. Whether you're afraid of of confrontation or whatever the situation is, fucking just tell them. Stop being a little bitch about it. Fucking speak up for yourself and go, you know what? I'm not feeling it. You're not for me. I wish you nothing but the best. Have a great day.
Right? I feel like that whole statement goes not only for relationships, though, like friendships, too.
It, absolutely.
Like, speak the fuck up. Stop ghosting people in general, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't like something I did, speak up and say something. I cannot change something or apologize for something or try and correct my wrongs for something that I have no clue about.
Absolutely.
So stop being a fucking pussy.
For real.
Your son's a fucking pussy. Your son's a fucking
pussy. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. So this one says, hey guys, I'm recently single and back in the dating pool after a long-term relationship that ended. Let me just say, between dating, the dating apps and endless small talk, it feels impossible to find a genuine connection. I'm over the Netflix and chill invites and the same old what do you do for fun conversations. Do you have any advice on navigating modern dating while keeping my sanity and standards intact? Also, how do you stay hopeful when it feels like everyone else is already coupled up? Mm. What wisdom would you share about balancing fun and resilience in a chaotic world of dating?
Okay, so I'm not really dating. I'm more focusing on, you know what? I think it's a great thing to rediscover yourself after a long-term relationship. And that's where I'm at. I'm actually enjoying relearning what I like again. So I think in the maintaining resilience, first of all, understand what you want. Understand where your values play. Understand what you like, what you're willing to accept, what you're not willing to accept. And bring the same type of values into your next relationship. If you have done your work and you want to do that and you start dating, dating pool sucks. And
it's a cesspool.
It is a cesspool. And it's just very, oh man. I kind of, for the men who are listening, not all of you are like this, but men in my mind are like roaches, right? The bottom dwellers. As soon as they find out like you're single, it could be a week that you just broke up with someone.
It could be the same fucking day.
It really can be the same day. And as soon as you break up with someone, they're like, ooh, hey,
what's up?
That's my you spot okay? in. Right. Right. And I think that's so unattractive to me.
It is.
Like, no, thank you. I don't need a shoulder to cry on. I'm a strong ass bitch. I have my friends and I have my family. I don't need any other man to lean on right now. However, that's why I chose to stay single right now, just so I can relearn myself. But if you are in that dating pool, like I said, make sure you maintain those values that you want to do. And I mean, try out different dates during the week. Talk to different people. And if they're not, you know, your thing, keep it moving. But politely, don't ghost them.
Yeah, don't ghost them.
Don't ghost. So I'm not really dating, so I don't really have a lot of things to say on that, but Liz is.
I am dating.
So what are your...
She's dating.
So honestly, like, my whole thing with dating is I have to find somebody who has common interests with me so that we can keep it fun.
Yeah.
And I have to find people that I'm dating that are going to get along with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds awful, but I have like criteria. You know what I mean? Like,
why is that awful? Why do you think that's awful?
It's not
think
an
that's,
awful thing at all.
That's values.
Yeah, it is to a certain extent because they can be great on all facets, right? But if they don't get along with my friends or family, I'm like, eh, you gotta go. I no bullshit. Like, I'm Jerry Seinfeld with the ick. When I get the ick, I'm like, nope.
It's over. You do get the ick, right?
I do. She gets ick bad.
She does.
Yep. And I'm sorry for anybody who's listening that may not know that about me. But I'm trying.
If
I'm
you
trying
don't to be know, better. Now you know. Bitch.
Just kidding. I'm trying to be better every day. It's baby steps, but I don't know. You just got to find what works for you and works for your partner. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have to be able to get along in your life, because if obviously I'm not dating to just hook up, I'm dating to marry. So you're going to be in my life regardless. So you're going to either get along with my friends and family. We're going to like some of the same hobbies, activities. I'm going to be starting to get interest in yours. Like, I feel like it's a thing. That's kind of how relationships go.
Do you feel like there's an amount of time that you should wait before you go into another relationship? Now, this is just this is me now genuinely busting into her story.
I think it depends on the amount of time that you were with the previous person.
And the person, I think. Like, who you are. Like, right. Who we are.
Right. Like, if it was a long-term relationship and, like, it was deep, deep, take your time.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was just like a little fling, fuck that.
Right.
I'm gonna smack you off like a fucking fly.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
No, I get that.
I don't know. I think that I think what it comes down to is, of course, you need to hold your own morals and your own values of what you're looking for. I'm not in the dating world anymore. I'm
thank God.
Just married.
Committed. You know, so, but when I was, I mean, I always kind of started off, because I don't like small talk. I'm not a fan of like, oh, what's your favorite color?
Yep.
Where would you like to go if you had one place in the world to visit? Where would you go? don't ask me those questions. Like, yeah. I want the deep rooted questions. What are your beliefs? What, you know, like I start off, like I used to do that. Like, what are your flaws? That'd be the first question I'd ask someone when they'd start my, what are your flaws? You know what I mean? Be real with me. I want to know. I don't want to know what makes you tick. And let me know what makes you tick. I'll give you 30 minutes, a hard, fast 30 minutes. So we'll sit and talk, and I'm going to ask you some of the deepest, hardest fucking questions that I can think of, because I want to know exactly who the fuck you are.
She should create speed dating.
Right? Like rapid fire.
Yeah. Have a whole bunch of questions like already set up in your mind of like questions that you're like your deal breakers. You know what I mean? Like ask those questions right off the bat. Why sit and fuck around with it? Do you have kids? Do you want kids? Are you looking for marriage, you know, later on in life? Are you looking to just stay single? Do you believe in marriage? Do you believe in God? Do you, whatever your deal breakers of something you don't want that follows your values of what you're looking for, ask those questions right up front, because you know what? Worst case, they're going to go, yeah, you're too much. And they're going to back off and you're going to go, you know what? Not for me.
That's right.
And now you're not wasting weeks, days of starting with small talk and Netflix and chilling before you get to know who someone is.
Mm-hmm.
So ask the questions that are actually super important to you.
And I'd rather someone know up front and tell me up front within the first week of us talking that I'm too much for them than getting invested and 2 years down the road and him going, I think this is just too much.
Yeah. Fuck that.
I do want kids. I do want to get married. Never mind. It's happened to me twice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do all those hard talks.
Prime example. The guy that I'm dating right now, mm-hmm. we've had all these talks. He wants to get married at some point again in his life because he did have a wife. You know what I mean? He already has a son and he's cool with me having a son. Our children are around the same age. You know what I mean? Do we want more children? I told him I'm good if I don't have any more kids. You know what I mean? Like, one, I love him to death, but one's good.
Right. Well, two, technically.
Two, well, yes, but for me, like my
physically giving birth.
Well, before even having another one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want kids to begin with, but I'm cool that I have one. You know, now right. I can't imagine life without him. Right. But he wants the house. He doesn't want to rent. He wants to go buy a house. You know what I mean? He wants land. He wants to do all these things. He's got dreams and aspirations of how he pictures what he calls our life together. And boy, let me tell you, when a man steps in and he's like, this is how I want our life, instead of somebody going, well, this is how I pictured myself with my son.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is a turn on like a motherfucker. That is a
turn on.
Like,
okay, look at her daddy. All flush. She's like, all I know. Right, daddy.
Whatever she's you need.
Smiling ear to ear right now.
She's doing the anime mouth open.
Yes, daddy. Listen,
aunt. Oh. That was weird. What was? Did you just Korean me? Like,
ni hao. Ni hao kai lan.
That's Chinese, but whatever.
Hey, we're learning Mandarin.
All right. But anyway, back to the case in point. I think that if you're not dating to marry, like, I'm not saying marriage is for everybody, but if you are dating to marry, find out what your partner wants. See if they match up in your goals, because you would know within the first 6 months if that person is your person.
Oh yeah.
The honeymoon phase is over. But I think the first 3 months are like, that's honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And then after that 3 months, I think that first 6 months, that's when everything
leaves
and the CEO comes in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, here it is. So give yourself time, give yourself grace, give yourself a little bit of, like, you know.
I just.
What?
What are you thinking over there?
Are you good?
No, I just had an epiphany.
Oh. What? Oh, I want to hear it.
I just fucking had this epiphany.
Well, let me hear it.
My ex.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck. Even though I knew him.
You know him in a relationship standpoint.
For a year and a half prior, I thought I knew this man, so I wasn't meeting the representative. But I was 100 still meeting the representative in that relationship for the first 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing until he wasn't. So that's just mind-blowing to me. That was a great epiphany. I think that was a great way of saying
perfect
that
analogy.
That was a great way of saying that.
Sometimes you need to hear things that may have been said before, but it takes a couple of times for it to fit and resonate tone in your situation.
Yeah,
realistically.
So thank you, listener. You and I both got healed.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. All right, moving on. Our next submission says, hey guys, love the podcast. I've got a tricky work situation I'm hoping that you can help me with. I work on a small team and there's this one coworker who constantly micromanages me, even though they're not my boss. They hover over my desk, check in on progress every hour, and even quote unquote offer suggestions on things that I'm already confident about. I tried hinting that I prefer work independently, but they don't seem to get that. To make things worse, they're super sensitive, so any direct feedback might hurt their feelings and make the office vibe awkward. What should I do? Help.
Yikes. You know what? I remember being in this exact situation with a coworker that shall not be named. And she liked to sit over my shoulder and try to offer all the help that was unwanted. And
she was a thunder cunt, like, yeah, 100%.
She just, you know what? She was one of those people that just thought she knew everything and anything and that the world revolved around her. So,
well, if it wasn't her opinion. In her eyes, it helps that she's been working at that company since Moby Dick was a minnow.
Yeah, I get that, but still. You okay?
Moby Dick was a minnow?
You've never heard her say that?
I always say that.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
She was so caught off by guard by that.
Caught off by guard.
What? I can't even speak. Fuck the shit.
Caught off by guard.
Caught off by guard. By guard.
It almost sounds like you're saying it like an Irish accent.
I
know.
I was caught off by
my guard. That's funny. Anyway, continue.
Well, that was the end of it. She just sucked. And honestly, the best thing you can honestly do in this situation is, like, speak up to her. And I don't mean, like, in a disrespectful way. You can, like, blatantly make the statement of, listen, I'm doing my work. I appreciate your help, but I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need your help. If I need your help, I'll come to you.
We have...
And if it caused a problem, go to a manager. I'm in.
I know. We have the ability to change situations, whether we think it or not. And whether she wants to make the vibe in the office off is literally none of your concern. You just keep going about your business. You're doing what you do. You do it right. That's all you worry about. And I love those ones who are like, oh, they try to micromanage, yet they're on the same level as you.
Bet you get the same amount of money out of my supervisor.
Okay, thank you. Shit. You literally have no extra characters. So just...
Oh, she's got extra characters. They're just not the kind you want.
Oh. I was thinking, I guess I was applying it. I guess it's not like for yours.
MD, PhD.
Yeah.
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 I got what you meant.
Yeah. So she's... I mean, just listen. I really appreciate your feedback. I will go to our manager and ask if I should be doing something differently. But I really do appreciate you checking in on me. Thank you. Have a great day. That's it.
And I know she said about that this girl was like super sensitive and got her feelings hurt. That's really
not. That's not your problem.
Not your concern. I mean, honestly, you can say it very respectful, very nice, where you're not trying to be rude. And, you know, just say, I really appreciate all your feedback and I've taken all I need. But in the same aspect, I'm good. I got this. Thank you.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, she's sensitive. Sensitive Sally.
Jess is the only one here who has worked with me. Mm. However, comma.
Comma. LOL.
LOL. I have this situation at work currently, okay?
Ooh.
There is a woman. I say woman because 90% of the medical field is women. So.
It could be anyone.
She has worked at this company for a very long time. Has switched roles a couple times. Mostly doing the same thing, but like... She should know her job. Okay. When she came in, she was trained by other people. You know, we all do our jobs differently, but you know, you don't touch other people's work. You don't do this. You don't do that. Everybody has their way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And it's been reiterated to her, you know? However, she likes to try and do everybody's work, but not do her own to make it look like she's doing more than she's actually doing. And there have been several times where we've worked together and I've told her like, hey, I see that you're trying to work on my stuff. I got it. Like, I appreciate the help. And I've said it nicely several times, and I've done this in text form, like email form, and through our messaging app that we use at work, because I know that CYA.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Cover your fucking ass, because yep. people can misconstrue words if you say it in person versus what I said on paper.
That's right.
So I write everything out. And I told her plenty of times, like, hey, it's like, I appreciate you trying to help me, but like, if I need your help, I'll ask you for it. Like, don't worry about it. And you guys know me very much so, to the point where I'll say it and then I'll say it again and then I'll say it again, and it's not going to be nice.
It's hot.
It's on hot on the bottom. It's hot on the bottom. So that is me. If you've ever seen that whole video, that's me 100%. But I've sat there and I've had to tell her multiple times, please stop touching my board. Please stop touching this. I have a certain way that I do things so that I can make sure I have to do them in order. It's like my OCD. So I make sure everything's done correctly.
Right.
I don't need you micromanaging me. I know how to do my job. And I actually had to tell her this just like a week or so ago and told her, like, stay in your lane, basically. And I said it in a very nice way.
In a professional, respectful way.
And I said, I read to her what I wrote. She went to the manager about me.
Why?
Because she got her fucking feelings hurt.
Oh.
And if you're gonna be a sensitive Sally yet try and micromanage people, then you can't be both.
What did your manager say?
My manager hasn't said anything other than she came up to me and was like, "How are we feeling today?" And so I was like, "I'm fine." Why? Because I'm also one of those people that's like, why the fuck are you talking to me? You never talk to me any other day. So, like, why are you talking to me now? And she's like, I just want to make sure that we're all being team players and all everybody's attitudes are in place. And I was like, oh, does this have something to do with a different scenario? And she's like, no.
Okay.
Bitch, please.
I love administration.
They're I don't.
My favorite people.
I only like one of my administrators, if I'm honest.
They just are awesome. You know what? Honestly, that's why they're administrators, because we could never. Because we're too blunt and we would say too much of what's on our mind. And the administrators are there to act as like the middleman of going, listen, this bitch says something about you. This bitch says something back. And I'm just here to kind of mediate and say both y'all bitches. But I'm going to say, are you okay today?
They're like the parents of our workplace. And you know what? Like, I don't envy their jobs. But like, I guess the moral of the story is, like, you're there to work. You're not there to make friends. You're there to be professional and you're there to do your job and go home, you know, take a paycheck home and make sure that you provide for you and your family. Mm-hmm. If anybody else wants to sit there and try and tell you how to do their job, let them.
Yeah.
Because when it comes down to it, especially in the medical field, their initials are on it. So if something is fucked up, that is on them. That ain't on me.
Check, please.
Check, motherfucking mic drop, do all the fucking things. Explosions as I walk away.
For real.
Because boy, motherfucking, let me tell you.
That's my notes. Ready? Da, 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 da. No new orders received. Period. Sent.
That's it. That's fucking it. Yeah. So, I don't know.
I hate working with people, but I also,
it's a part of life.
Yeah, like I have to.
You don't get a choice.
You know what I mean? I mean, you do if you're like a small business owner and you work at home or whatever the case is. You're a
computer programmer,
like,
and you just work by yourself.
Yeah. And I envy people that are, that can do that kind of thing. Cause could not be me. Could not be me.
Mm-mm. Well, listen, so, you know how much we all love ChatGPT, right? So I just asked the question, how do you professionally say, please stay in your own lane?
Oh God, I'm ready for it.
Okay. So here's the two best ones. It says, I appreciate your input, but this falls under my area of responsibility. I'll make sure to reach out if I need assistance or your feedback.
Oh, please send that to me because I will send that to her first thing on Monday morning.
And then the other one says, let's see. The other one, there's two. Also, there's three, actually. So the other one says, thank you for your perspective. But for now, I'm managing this on my end, and I appreciate your trust in how I handle it.
Oh.
And then the last one is acknowledging their intent and clarifying your role. And that says, I see you're trying to help, and I value that. However, this is something I'm taking care of as a part of my role.
Oh.
See? There's a professional way to say it without hurting feelings.
Hey, that's amazing.
But I will say what I said back to her. I did not chat GPT. And I just fucking said it. And it was still professional.
Just gonna send it.
Send it.
Full send, baby. Full send.
So
we're moving on to our last one. This one says, hey guys, I'm in my mid-30s and lately I've been feeling completely burnt out. Poor thing, us too.
I feel that.
Between work, trying to stay healthy, maintaining friendships, and all the little things that pile up. I feel like I'm constantly running on empty. Taking time off seems impossible because there's always something that needs to get done. Even the things that I used to enjoy don't feel exciting anymore. How do you reset when life just won't slow down? And how do you know when it's time to make a big change versus needing a break?
Ooh, honey, you are in burnout.
Absolutely.
100% burnout.
That whole entire message is burnout. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to make light of something serious, but like, learn to recognize burnout for yourself.
Yeah.
Learn what recognizing, like, that's not your normal pattern. Like, now you're going, oh no, I'm burnt.
Yeah. If there's no enjoyment in the things that you used to enjoy,
that's burnout.
Yeah. That's burnout.
That part, that's exactly what I was just about to say.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it really comes down to, is you need to take a break.
Yep.
You need to find things to kind of like reset your own brain and do things that you love, your own hobbies, that's out of work, out of all the other stuff, and just take a moment to yourself, because you can't fill up anyone else's cup if yours is not empty.
Absolutely. So, suggestions coming from a chronic burnout who is, I'm famous for taking, quote unquote, time for myself. Here's my thing. Create boundaries. Hey, just so you know, I have a lot going on. It has nothing to do with you. Make sure that you're telling the people in your life that are important to you this. I would just go on do not disturb. And that's my time. In the do not disturb, when I'm burnt out, I was also getting really depressed. So also go back to episode, 8? and listen to that and figure out if you're depressed or just burnt out. If you're just burnt out, make those clear statements to your people that you love. Hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed lately. I'm just going to take a couple days to myself. Turn your phone on, do not disturb. Take baths with Epsom salt and candles. Meditate. Lavender. Or lavender. That's great. Mm-hmm. That is great.
You get the lavender Epsom salts too.
Yeah. Don't
take bath salts though. It's not good for you.
Yeah. You end up eating homeless people. That's just not a way to go.
Zombies. Don't do that. The nurse giving advice to go take bath salts.
Yes.
Take some bath salts.
And this is how people misconstrue medical records.
You know, I think what's important is, because the question at the end was how to know when it's time to make a big change or just take a break. I think that, like you were just saying, it's so valid of doing those things to make time for yourself first. And if you're still unhappy after you have filled your cup back up and you're going, okay, I'm out of burnout and I still am unhappy with where my life is, then it is time for a big change.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
But that's first, great build advice. Yourself back up first.
That's great advice. That is great advice. What she said. Full send. That's it.
Same, bro.
Like that. Yeah, no. So, like, do that. Like, read. Put on your favorite show. Go sit on your porch. Listen to music. I mean, literally, like, read your Bible if you're religious. Like, do
the things. Beach. Listen to the waves.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, don't live by the water. Go for a walk. Go hiking. Go do some. Go exercise if that's your thing.
I highly recommend going to live by the water, though.
Go see a movie.
I agree.
Go out with friends.
Yes.
Just or lay in bed and watch movies, meditate, right, whatever right. works, whatever helps you feel better.
Have a self day, like yeah. where you go and do get your hair, done. Your nails done, your toes done. You go get self tanning done, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. You have to find time to make time for yourself just because there's stuff that still needs to be done. There's never going to be enough time in a day to get everything done.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to learn to stop trying to look at the big picture of it and break it down to smaller pieces.
Agreed.
And then make time, find, not even make time, prioritize time for yourself.
Rest is overrated.
What?
I said rest is overrated. Wait, underrated.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, you are the queen of rest.
Yes.
I'm so confused. I'm like, yes. I think my eyes crossed when I like, what did you just say? Rest? Yes. That's a me statement. I'm like, I'll get enough sleep when I'm dead.
No, you know and right? that's so bad. That's so bad. Rest is underrated. That resets your brain. You create new pathways in your brain when you sleep. Rest is underrated. Please give your body rest. And I'm talking to you, Jessica Nicole.
Why are you putting my middle name out there on blast?
Sorry.
Sorry. Do you want to back it up?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Just want to scratch that.
Yeah. No. Can you scratch me off?
Do you want to double click the mouse? There's so many innuendos here. It's not even
there
funny.
There is. I know. Yes. Shit. Please give your body rest. Listen to yourself.
That's important.
It is. Because also, learn how to read the book called How to Do the Work by Dr. Nicole LaPera. She is amazing.
I know. She's not sponsored. She just pushes this book on everybody.
I do. I so believe in it. I do. I do. And I will continue.
That's
because we're about to dive in. Yeah. That also helps.
Oh, we dove.
We dove. That's a really good book. It's a really good book.
We hope we've been able to help everyone today.
I hope
like,
so.
Like, truly. Like, I hope our advice helped to a certain extent. Obviously, we're not therapists, and we're just as fucked up as everybody else.
Amen. Unhinged, if you will.
We're a little wise. We've all been through some pretty... At our age, honestly, we're pretty wise women.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot of shit that we can speak on.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah.
But also, with that being said, I really, truly would love, and I know all of us would, if anything that we've said, any advice that we've tried to give you that you've put into motion in your life from what we've said today, update us. Yes. Let us know what's going on.
Yes,
because we plan on doing more chronicles like this.
Yes, there will be multiple chronicles.
Chronicles number one,
it is.
So if you ever want to listen to the listener stories, just click on that one, and it'll be dated with 1, 2, 3 because we'll be doing more of these.
Yes, for sure. Because we're not just saying sending your stories just to go empty. We're saying these because we really want to put these and give advice.
And also, I think I said in previous episodes, like, yeah, we're cool and we're funny and all that shit, but also we get bored talking about ourselves all the time.
Absolutely.
Facts, bitch. So.
And I think on the updated ones, when we actually get updates of these stories, I think we'll do a updated Confessions in Chaos will be what it's called.
Ooh,
for that one.
I like it.
So that's when you guys know if it's the updates, if you guys are...
I like it a lot.
Sucked in with us and wanting to hear more.
Sucked in.
So with that being said, please make sure if you guys like this episode that you like, share, and subscribe, as well as I hope that if you know someone that needs to hear this, please send it to them. You don't know if someone's in the exact same situation as you.
Ain't that right?
And if you have more stories that you want to send in, or if somebody else has the courage to send their stories in, please send them to unhingedmemoirs@gmail.com.
Please like and follow and subscribe on all of our platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music.
Apple Podcast.
Apple Podcast. Yeah,
you always say Apple Music.
I do. I don't mean it.
We're not on Apple Music, guys. Sorry. It's Apple Podcast, Apple Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Whatever.
All the places that you listen to podcasts on, that's where we're at.
Yes, we're on TikTok, Instagram,
Snapchat. We don't know if we're on TikTok anymore.
Oh, that's
realistically.
So, but sure, you can still find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. Lemonade.
Snapchat.
Snapchat. Chatty.
Please snap us some funny shit. We can run some streaks with you guys.
Hell yeah.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Please do so.
Unhinged Memoirs on Snapchat. Send us your snaps. We promise that we'll keep a snap streak with you guys.
Absolutely.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
And we will like it.
But until next time, we hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and we will see you next time on episode 12.
Bye!